If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, going to be looking at verses 15 and 17. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 through 17. Hebrews, probably one of the most underread books in the New Testament, because there's a lot of Old Testament history in there that people don't understand, and a lot of people stay away from it. It's a beautiful book about salvation and how the first covenant, second covenant kind of go together. And this evening, I want to look at Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 through 17, and I got a real catchy title. Here's the title: Sacrifice. That's all I could come up with. I'm kind of weird, if you haven't noticed that yet. I enjoy documentaries. And what kind of caught my eye to head this direction was I watched the documentary of Corrie Ten Boom. If you're not familiar with her family, they provided passage for Jews during the World War II, and her family was put in concentration camps. And she was talking about the concentration camps and how there were 700 women staying in a building that was only suited for 200. And she said the conditions were absolutely horrible. And she tells this story about how bad the lice were in that building. The lice were so bad that the guards would not even come into the room and take advantage of these women. They would leave the food at the doorstep and run away. And Corrie Ten Boom says these words: "I began to thank God for lice." And I kind of pause it, and I'm like, did she say what I think she said? And I backed it up, and she said, "I begin to thank God for lice, because it was easier to deal with the lice than the travesty of the guards having their way with the women." And it kept on going. She began to praise God for different things. And if you'd never read any of her books or watched the movie or seen the documentary, I would tell you to do so. Another one is Viktor Frankl. He was in the same place. He was in concentration camps. And there's many people that came out of the concentration camp, and they tell you they survived because of his faith and his looking at the world with such joy. He would look at life as being a blessing, every day being a blessing. And I came across this passage, actually. If I got this book, and I preached this message September the, 5th, 1921 in Lakeview Baptist Church. But something's happening. I got this book, and I think there's like 5 sermons in here, because every time I preach it again, I rewrite it. So I've rewritten it. So the sermon's called Sacrifice. Sacrifice means to destruct the destruction of something for the sake of something else. And we talk about sacrifice. I've been in church long enough where we have sacrificial giving campaigns. Y'all ever been through one of those? And basically what we do is we find a budget and we figure out how much we really can give the church. But are we truly sacrificing? I know the sacrificial system is gone when it comes to sin, but God tells us in the book of Romans, present your bodies as living sacrifice. What does that mean? We're foreign to that. We don't know what a sacrifice is. We didn't have to go get the unblemished lamb and bring him to the altar. Jesus did that for us. He is the Lamb of God. So this passage, the author of Hebrews writes in verse 15. He said, through him being Jesus, then let us continually offer up sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your soul as those who will give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Father God, we thank you for bringing us a part of the family this morning or this evening. We thank you for the ability to come and worship. God, we thank you for the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice that you gave to cover our sins, past, present, and future. And God, we thank you that we can open up your word and Lord, just teach us what it means to be sacrificial. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we come down to it, the only person really to be able to give a sacrifice is the priest. But doesn't Peter say that we're the royal priesthood? We have a priesthood. We can bring a sacrifice. The word sacrifice is the Greek word thus. Never mind. Well, I'm not going to pronounce. Let me tell you what it means. Let me tell you what it means. It means to sacrifice. That's what it means. It means to kill, but they tell us it only means more than kill. And then most commentaries say it means more to kill. Basically means sacrifice. Okay, it means sacrifice. It's to sacrifice. And in this passage, the author gives us three different sacrifices. He tells us in two of the verses, he uses the word, the actual word, sacrifice. The first one is the sacrifice of praise. Look with me in verse 15. He says, let us continually, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Let us continually. It's a little bitty preposition, dia. It's where we get diameter. You know, the round part of the circle, it's actually this part. But it shows its word that means through. But it's in a weird case called the genitive case. It means through until it complete, and it never completes. It gives us this sense of sometimes we get the word salvation. The Bible tells us that we are saved. But actually in the Greek, the terminology means something that happens in the past and continues to happen. We find this little bitty preposition that means through, meaning you need to continually keep doing it. He says, look, it is a continually thing. And he goes on to say, he says, offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. We give our prayer requests, but do we give our praise? Do we give our praise? I'm going to step out of real protocol. They asked me about, I think I was probably 21. I was young. And they're like, we want you to do a discipleship class during, you know, Sunday afternoons. I said, okay. They said, what you want to do it on? I said, I want to do it on prayer. And they're like, okay, any curriculum? I said, T.W. Hunt. If you never read anything on T.W. Hunt about prayer, you need to get a book on T.W. Hunt about prayer. Incredible man. And I said, but you need to tell these people whatever you put in the bulletin, whatever you want me to say, that we're not just going to read a book. We're going to actually pray. Okay, so this evening, I'm not here to tell you you need to give a sacrifice of praise. I want you to give me a sacrifice of praise. What has God done for you? See, we're willing to share our prayer requests, and rightfully so. The Bible says we need to intercede for each other. But what are you thanking God for? Sorry, my southern twang. Not thinking, thanking God for. What are you thankful for? Somebody, just anybody. Health. Health, amen. Anybody else? Inhabits our praise. I'm getting there. Hold on. Godly church, salvation, family. Say again. Amen. My wife is too. We have so much to be thankful for. I was sharing with a dementia patient today, her daughter, and she was just, whoa, tired. And I said, man, isn't it a beautiful day? She said, it's gorgeous. I said, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says he shows us his invisible attributes through invisible creation. Isn't that wonderful? I said, you see those beautiful dandelions she planted? She said, I didn't plant them. The guy delivered for me. I said, aren't they gorgeous? I said, have you ever noticed how petals are in this perfect formation to make that beautiful? That is unbelievable. The Bible tells us we need to continually do that. Paul said the same thing to the 1 Thessalonians. You know, we get that little phrase, pray without ceasing. But there's a triplet there. He says, pray without ceasing, rejoice always, and in everything give thanks. Do you give praise like a Corrie ten Boom? I thank God for lice. Because whatever's happening in your life, either God has allowed it to happen or caused it to happen. And it should be praised. It should be worshiped. He said, look, this is the fruit of your lips. Give thanks. Jesus said, it does not defile a man what goes in him. It defiles what comes out of his mouth. James, the Gospel of James says these words. He says, look, you can't have a fountain that brings bitter water and sweet water. Which four-letter words come out of your mouth? Lord or the other ones? As we already heard before, God inhabits the praise of our people. And Isaiah has a whole chapter in Isaiah chapter 42. He says, look, God will inhabit the praise of your people. So many churches want the presence of God. God, we want your presence in here. Let me tell you what, God shows up. He shows up when we praise his name. I tell people that are dying or have family members dying, you know what I tell them? Just praise the Lord. Because when you begin to praise God, something in our bodies show us that he is bigger than the situation that we are in. And we begin to be comforted. Have you heard about the lady who bought a dog in 2016? And in 1 year, it weighed over 250 pounds. She realized she didn't buy a dog, she had bought a black bear. The wildlife people came, this is in China, wildlife people came and got it and took it away. It is now living on the wildlife preserve. It weighs 450 pounds. She says, I knew something was wrong when I realized that this thing was eating 4 buckets of noodles and about 2 bushels of fruit a day. And she said, then I realized it could stand on its back legs really well. The reason for the story is when we begin to focus on God and give him praise for what he's done for us and who he is, he becomes bigger than our problems. And then we realize not that he's a bear, but he's a huge God who can take care of our situations. Leviticus chapter 7 is all about giving the sacrifice of thanksgiving. In some translation, it is called a free will offering. In other translation, it is called a peace offering. It dealt with giving an ephah flour and making a biscuit and putting oil on it. And part of it was given to the priest to eat, and part of it's given to the person giving it to eat. So he says, look, you need to give a sacrifice of praise. It's not about what music Keith sits or sings or which one he picks out. Can we just get over the argument of hymns, praise and worship? Had a lady I think I spent 20 minutes arguing. I didn't argue with her. I don't argue with people when they're in hospice. I just tell them what I think. I don't argue with them. Here's where I am. And she's like, oh, my church done spent $400 million, and we don't have a choir anymore. They took the choir loft out, and now we sing them songs that we sing about 14 times, and it's the same 10 words. And I'm like, folks, God blesses and inhabits the praise of his people. It doesn't matter what song it sings, as long as it lifts Jesus Christ up in a rightful and according to this. But here's the thing. Is your worship, is your praise like the Pharisees? Jesus told them, he says, look, you pay lip service to me, but your heart is far away. What's the second sacrifice? I'm glad you asked. Verse 16. He says, and do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. You're going to have to hold on for a minute on this one because we're going to get somewhere good. Here you go. He says, I want you to do this. He said, it is a sacrifice of action. We are not saved by works. We are saved by grace. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves, not by works, but no man can boast. But your works show that you have it. You shall know them by their fruit. James says, with faith without works is dead. How do I know you're a believer? By the works that you do. But look in verse 16. He says this, and do not neglect doing good. Do you remember when Jesus, the rich young ruler, came to him and he says, oh, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Do you remember Jesus' response? He says, why do you call me good? For only God is good. Now hang with me. So could we take those words and it says, and do not neglect being godly and sharing, for with such sacrifice, God is pleased. Yesterday, I went to a gorgeous home set on Lake Martin, beautiful lake. I said, hey, I got 50 minutes. I got to be here 50 minutes. Can I just stay here for like 45 minutes and just stare at the water? They're like, stay as long as you want, okay? Poor lady had the biggest smile on her face. She's like, hey, how are you? What's your name? I said, Corey. I said, I'm the chaplain, da 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 da. And she said, oh, it's so nice to meet you. And we talked about some other stuff. And I was talking to her husband. He's got one of them little beady electric cars. I was asking him how I was working for him. And 5 minutes goes by and she goes, hey, how are you? What's your name? And just like next first time, I said, hey, I'm Corey. I'm the chaplain. And I'm just here. And I don't ask people if they're Christian because there's a connotation. I said, can you answer me one thing? I said, Miss Sue, do you love Jesus? She goes, oh, I love him so much. I said, do you know where you're going when you die? She said, well, I hope to heaven. I'm okay with that answer. You can be dogmatic if you want to, because that's all we really got is a living hope. And we talked a little bit, and I prayed with her. About 30 seconds went by. Hey, how are you? Who are you? I said, my name's Corey. I'm chaplain. The problem is, we have the same thing going on with church. We have forgotten that our salvation is not based on works, but works is important for our salvation. Paul said these words, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. James says, be ye doers of the words. It
pleases God. Did you read that? Let us do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifice, God is pleased. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Stay with me. So can we say that your faith requires sacrifice? Your faith requires sacrifice. Because one passage we see, it is not possible to please God unless it's by faith. We see in this passage that he is saying you need to, he says, look, and do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifice God is pleased. Our faith must have some area of sacrifice. See, I don't know. We've lost the word. We don't understand sacrifice. Because some of you, sacrifice might be, okay, I'm not going to drink Starbucks and I'm going to give the money. Many of you, it always deals with money. There's no reason 20% of the church should be doing 80% of the work. There's no reason that we shouldn't have enough resources, whether it's money, bodies, materials, to do anything that God calls Grace Baptist Church to do. If we are living by faith with sacrifice. There's no reason why that budget line that we get does this. It should be doing this. Paul says, present, stay with me. We know that our faith should have sacrifice. Paul says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Holy, listen to this, pleasing to God or acceptable. It's the same word. It's the same Greek word. The one please here, the one acceptable in Romans chapter 12. It's the same word. Do you want to present your bodies as living sacrifice? How do I do that? He says, by the renewing of your mind, do not conform to this world. Jesus put it another way. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Paul put it a different way. He said, do nothing out of vain conceit or self-ambition, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Some of you, your sacrifice is not so much money, material. It's that you need to get out of the place that belongs to God and leave him there. I had a soccer player yesterday. Something was going on with his life and da-da-da-da. And we had a game. I was like, man, we got a game in 50 minutes. What are you doing? He's like, coach, I just don't know. And I can't do this. And I can't do that. I said, brother, the world does not revolve around you. And I walked off and he kind of looked at me. And he said, no word. Had one of the best games he's ever played. Hey, the world does not revolve around you. You have been called, as the Westminster Confession says, your chief purpose is to give him glory. Your chief purpose is to bring him praise. Your chief purpose is to give a sacrifice of action by sharing. The word is communicate. Jesus told the story of a good Samaritan. Let me sum up the good Samaritan with you. It is no good just to see the need. It is no good just to see the need and have compassion. That was the second guy. What really counts is when you see the need, you have compassion and you act upon it. The good Samaritan, hey, it wasn't a, hey, I got a couple of dollars. No. There's no telling how much he spent. Remember, he put him in the inn and he came back to check on him and he took care of his wounds. Come on, church, where are we? Are we described as selfish and instead of sacrificial? What describes us better? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21. It's right here. It says, equip you in every good thing to do His will, working in us that which is, there's that word again, pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Ties it all together. Here's my sacrifice of praise. Here's my sacrifice of action. It goes together. Thirdly, there's a sacrifice of obedience. Verse 17, it says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they will keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this will be unprofitable for you. Romans 13 tells us all authority has been given by God. In this passage, the writer says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, remember those who lead you, who spoke the word to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Imitate their faith. This leadership he is talking about the leadership inside of the church. In 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4, he goes about giving an account of how under-shepherds will give an account for every one they teach. I think it's in the book of Titus. He says you better really look at it and make sure you're called to be an elder or a preacher or a pastor, however you want to interpret presbyteros. He said, you better make sure that you're called to it because it's a double judgment. Well, what if they're a bad preacher? What if they're immorally corrupt, no integrity?